what do they call that, where they go through their training, boot camp. They train hard for like, I don't know how long it is, 6 to 8 weeks or something, and to go out and fight in wars. And, you know, we were doing this paintballing yesterday. I'm going to tell you something, man. You start running up these hills, you didn't condition yourself long before that, and within a day, you can hardly move. I mean, and you get hit with these pellets, these little paintballs, and man, they hurt. I mean, one left a bruise on my leg. It's still swollen, and it still hurts. But your whole body is just sore. And they, I mean, you couldn't go out and do it again. I mean, not within a couple, 2 or 3 days until after you rest. But in the military, and you go through that, you can keep going and going and going because you've conditioned for 6 to 8 weeks. But just something to, it's amazing what these people go through and the hard workouts that they go through to just to prepare so that they don't wear out. But anyway, we're in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Made it through 10, finally. And we're in 11. All right, we'll go ahead and pray and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you again, Lord, for giving us the ability to be able to even come close to speaking them, Lord, and teaching them. And Lord, we pray that you'd continue to work in our lives and we pray that we would continue to grow in your words and in faith, Lord. And Father, now we pray that our hearts and eyes would be open to them and that we would consider the things that are taught. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, this chapter, what Jesus says here, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Those things that Jesus was teaching his disciples back there, they were commands. And after he made the end, he makes his third tour of Galilee. And the first one is found in Matthew 4:12. Matthew 4:12, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee." All right. The second one is found in Matthew 8. Matthew 8:5. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him." I'm going to flip back real quick and go ahead and read a little bit more of this Matthew chapter 4:12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt into Capernaum. So that's where in Galilee there. And so here he goes to Galilee again. He's in Capernaum. And then the third one is found here in Matthew 11. Now the Bible says that he went thence to teach and to preach in their cities. All right, that third one, the third tour is in Galilee. We know this by in Acts 2:7. We'll go there real quick. Acts 2:7. The Bible says, and we went through this already once before, so we're not going to look up all the verses about this Antichrist and Judas and where he's from. We know he's from Moab, but Acts 2:7. You have to compare scriptures with scriptures to be able to determine that. Acts 2:7, and the Bible says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know." Is that 2:7? No. The Bible says, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans or Galileans?" And so we know that when you lived in Galilee, there was a dialect of language there, because they knew that these guys were from Galilee by the way they spoke, by their language. Okay, so they had a different dialect there, and they're speaking in Acts, and the Holy Spirit's taking the words of their language, and he's making them, twisting those words into the languages of all the people, all the different dialects of Jews, of the Jews that were there, and the Jewish proselytes. And so the Holy Spirit can take the words of God, the words of man, and put them into the ears of anybody in any language, and and get them to understand His words. And so we can't limit it to just the English language. He's able to do that in any language, in any dialect. And that's a good thing to know. So, you get the general idea of what the Jews think of people from Galilee in John 1, 46. And basically, what they think of them is that they're no good. They're a low-class citizen. John 1:46. The Bible says, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see." Right? And so the Jews didn't think too highly of the people that came from Galilee. Verse 2. Matthew 11, verse 2. The Bible says, "Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples." Jesus heard that John was in prison back in Matthew 4:12. And it's interesting that there is no record. There's no record that Jesus ever went to visit John when he was in prison. Why was John in prison? Matthew seems to think that everybody knows this because he doesn't say why he's in prison here. But if you go into Luke 3:30, you'll see that he's in prison for a reason. Or is it Luke 3:20? Luke 3:20. The Bible says, let's go up a little bit. Okay, John is preaching here. Verse 16, we'll start in verse 16. "John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above, that he shut up John in prison." Okay? And so John is in prison. Why? He's preaching. He's preaching righteousness. And Herod is there hearing him. Right? He's there hearing him. And John was a preacher of righteousness. And when Herod heard John preach, he knew John was just and holy. And if you'll go with me to Mark, and we'll look at the Mark passage. Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 14. The Bible says, I'll wait a couple minutes here, a couple seconds. That's got a couple seconds. That's all. The Bible says, "And King Herod heard of him," that's Jesus, or John, "for his name was spread abroad," and he said, that's Jesus. He heard Jesus. Oh yeah, John. Said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said, yeah, so he's hearing of Jesus. He's thinking that John the Baptist is being raised from the dead because he feels guilty. He's got some guilt there. He knew he'd killed a just man, a just and holy man. And the Bible says, others says that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard therefore, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. That's John. And would have him killed, but she could not. She couldn't do anything. Who's she? She's not going to go up and kill John, right? "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Here you have Herod hearing John preach. He's preaching righteousness, and he's starting to change some things in his life. Right? And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Men, never say that to a woman. All right? Never. Be specific. And you're going to find out why. So, what type of woman sends her own daughter into a man that she's married to dance in front of? Right? One who knows the changes that her new husband is making because she's listening to the preaching of John, right? He said that he changed many things. He did many things and heard him gladly. So there's some action after hearing Herod or after hearing John's preaching by Herod. He's starting to act upon some of these things. And this woman sees that, hey, he's starting to make these little tiny changes in his life. My new husband, the one I seduced, I was married to his brother and I seduced him, right? And maybe he's going to put me away one day. Maybe if he keeps listening to this John, he's going to put me away and then I'll be left with nothing. Because I'm not married to his brother anymore, I'm married to him. And if he puts me away, what do I have? Right? And so she's afraid she's going to lose everything. And so she says, you know, I know what I'm going to do. I know how my husband is. He's got eyes. I mean, he's got adulterous eyes, and they never cease from sin. And so I'll get my daughter, I'll get her to go in front of Herod and show I know he's been looking at her, right? Hey, women aren't stupid. They know when their husbands are looking at other women, all right? They're not stupid. They may not say anything, but they're not stupid. So men, you got to watch your eyes. And we do. We've got to, especially in this time that we live in, where women are walking around out there with half nothing on. All right? You got to be careful. And so we got to be careful with our eyes. And the women, hey, the Bible warns men about oaths, folks. The Bible forewarns us about oaths for a reason. We're just not to just make an oath to somebody and not give any specifics. You need to know what you're making an oath to. Don't leave it up to somebody else to decide for you. Come on. That's like writing a blank check. That's like signing your name to a blank check and throwing it on the ground. Your whole savings is going to be gone. Your whole life's work is going to be gone. But this woman, she knows that her husband's been looking at her daughter, and so she uses it against him. And she knows that, hey, there may be a chance that if she pleases him, that he'll give her whatever she wants. And that's what I'm going to bank on. My husband, he's not really that, he thinks he's all powerful, he can say whatever he wants, he doesn't really think about what he says when he's saying it, right? And when you get into a position of authority, you need to watch what you say. Because you can get a complex with yourself, and you can start saying things and mouthing off things that, hey, in our line of work, if we say something to a contractor, it's a contract. Even though there's nothing written, we're agents to a company. If we say, hey, you're going to get this job, give me a quote, they've got the job. All they have to do is provide the quote. All right, and if we don't give them the job, they appeal it and say, hey, this guy said we were going to get this job, and then we're in the hot seat. You got to be careful what you say, especially in a place of authority, because your verbal contracts are good for a year, and especially if they tape them and they've got a witness. And most of the time, they have witnesses. They don't come in just with one person. They come in with two or three when they're discussing work. And so you have to be very, very careful. And Herod wasn't very, very careful. But the Bible forewarns about this. Deuteronomy 23:21 about this vows, these vows. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 23:21, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it will be sin in thee. Folks, there's times people make mistakes, they say things that they don't mean, they make oaths, they make vows that they don't mean. If you say this to the Lord, you better be willing to pay it. If you say an oath, give an oath to a man, and you find out later on, hey, this guy is going to use this oath that I said to hurt somebody else, hey, I would renege on that oath and just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I opened my mouth, it was sin. Let the Lord handle that, not man. Because when you keep going on your oath, and you go to the point where you're going to kill somebody, hey, there's a problem there. And hey, if this guy Herod, if he would have stood up and said, you know what, I don't like that, I'm going to say no, I'm not giving you that request. I didn't know you were going to hurt somebody with my request today. I was going to do this for you, but not for you to hurt anybody else. And now that you requested that, I want to know who put you up to that idea. It was your mother? Really? Both of you are going to die now, right? Because you wanted to cause hurt on somebody else? I guarantee you that news would have went throughout all the land, and there wouldn't have been any more problems with women in that land over them kind of subjects. All right? But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. For the oath's sake, he went ahead and fulfilled the request. For the oath's sake, he went around and fulfilled the request. But women, how far will you go? Right? How far will you go in life to get what you really want? And that's the lesson there, folks. For men, you need to watch your mouth. Especially around women, especially around your, you know, vulnerable times. Especially when you're there with somebody that you love and blah, blah, blah. But you never know what's going to come, what somebody else is thinking. So you got to be careful what you're gonna vow to. And women, you got to be careful. What are you willing to go to? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to kill somebody to get what you want in life? Because you really need to think about that. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Really? There's more than one instance in the Bible where a woman will go to the extreme of killing somebody to get what they want for their husband. What, you had that Ahab? I think you had Ahab and Jezebel. Not only that, but you had a lady that rolled over her own daughter and killed her, or her own son, killed him when they were sleeping. And then took the dead baby and switched them out. And what kind of woman does that? Right? Women do things. Okay? Women are deceived a lot easier than men. And a woman will eat her own child if she gets hungry enough. And women, you got to keep that under. I mean, it's in the Bible. You got it. The heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says, and deceitful above all. All things. You got to always constantly watch that heart and find out what's going on here. Does this match Bible? Is this scriptural? Should I be thinking this? Should I be doing this? All right. Enough on that subject. Verse 3. The Bible says, we'll go to 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? All right. Do we look for another? Now, folks, this looks like that John is doubting. But is he? Is he really doubting? And we need to look at this a little bit more carefully here. Here's a man who stood boldly for the truth and proclaimed it to all the nation, to the nation of Israel. And yet he's wondering, is Jesus really the one? Is he the one that's going to come after him? Why is he wondering this? John knows the Messiah is coming. He knows he's coming. But he's wondering if it's Jesus. He's wondering if it's Jesus. John knows that who comes after him will be the Messiah. But at this time, folks, it looks like he's lost his assurance as to who it is. That's what it looks like. He's wondering because why? He's in prison, folks. He's in prison. And that's the clue to why John is bringing this question to Jesus. That's the clue. He's in prison. Now, it's interesting that John brings forth the question to Jesus, who is the person that is in question? He goes and asks Jesus, right? Jesus is claiming to be the Messiah. So he goes and asks the person that's in question here. Are you the Messiah? What are we supposed to do? What are we as Christians supposed to do? If somebody comes up and says that I'm an apostle, what are we supposed to do? Right? Revelation 2:2. There's a church, and God's given a message to the church. At Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, all right, and are not, and hast found them liars. Who's Jesus Christ? He's the apostle, folks. He's the apostle. All right? So John's asking him this question here. He's trying to verify, folks, what he knows in the Scripture. He believes the Scripture. He's not doubting the Word of God. He knows the Messiah is coming. But he's in prison. And there may be some things that he didn't realize when he went through the verse that he's relying on here. But he knows that he knows the Scripture. He knows he wants to verify that what's being done and what is not being done by who he thinks is the Messiah. He's trying to figure out, hey, the Messiah is not doing certain things, but he's doing other things. All right? John knows this. He's heard about what Jesus has done, and we're going to find that out. But because he's in prison and he's still wondering, not only him, but his disciples as well are wondering. Folks, look, let's read in Matthew 11. The Bible says, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And so there's obviously some other people around that are questioning, hey, is this the Messiah, John? You told us this was him, right? Jesus wasn't doing any miracles when John pronounced that this was Jesus, the Lamb of God, right? Nobody even knows if he's even seen Jesus do the miracles. But we know he's heard of them. We know he's heard of them because he says, Jesus answered, verse 4, and said unto them, Go and show John again. John's disciples have told John about Jesus' works. And so he tells them again, go show him again what he's doing. Folks, John's in prison. He's wondering why he's still in the pokey. All right? Isaiah 61:1. Let's go there. That's the passage that he's relying on. Isaiah 61:1. The Bible says, The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So John's wondering, why isn't he open this prison? If he's the Messiah, the prison door should be opened. I shouldn't be still sitting here in this pokey. Right? And so he's trying to verify. He wants Jesus to tell him, hey, the Scripture says this. He's not doubting the Scripture, folks. He wants Jesus to answer that. Are we supposed to look for another? So he's in a sense, trying to verify, Jesus, you need to show me a little bit more of my faith. I have faith, but help thou mine unbelief, right? I believe your words, but something's going on here where it just doesn't line up with your words. And Jesus doesn't rebuke this guy. He doesn't rebuke him. Why does he rebuke his disciples when they doubt? And he's not rebuking John. Something to think about. What are we supposed to do, folks? What are we supposed to look for? Let's go to Jude. Jude 1:21. We're supposed to be looking for things. We're supposed to be looking for some things. Bible says in Jude 1:21, the Bible says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We're supposed to be looking for mercy, folks. What else are we supposed to be looking for? Go, if you would, to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. John's looking. He's looking for the Messiah, right? And he's asking the Messiah, hey, are we supposed to be looking for somebody else here? Because what you're doing and what's being done and what the Scripture says you're supposed to be doing is not lining up. Hebrews 12, 2. We're supposed to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we're supposed to be looking for Jesus. We're supposed to be looking for the blessed hope, folks. The blessed hope. Titus 2. Keep going. Keep flipping the pages, if you would. I missed it. Titus 2. Titus 2:13. The Bible says we're supposed to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, John's looking. He's looking in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is standing right there. All right? He's verifying. He's still looking. Are we looking for another? Right? Jesus, tell us, are we supposed to look for another? He's asking the Messiah. We're supposed to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, folks, in 2 Peter 3:12. We're not only supposed to be looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ, the glorious appearing. 2 Peter 3:12. The Bible says that we're supposed to be looking for and hasting upon the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So folks, just as John's looking, we're supposed to be looking as Christians. Matthew 11:4. We're getting closer. Matthew 11:4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." Go show again what ye hear and see. And then he tells them what they saw. He tells them what they saw. In verse 5, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. So there's no confusion of what you saw. This is what you saw, right? And so Jesus tells John by what his disciples saw. He tells John by what his disciples saw and heard that, hey, I am he, and the proof is what you is in what you hear by these witnesses that you sent. You sent two witnesses. Folks, there are times when we're going to think that we know something because the Bible says something. Right? We think we know it. But do we really know what the Bible says? Are we dividing the Scriptures the way they're supposed to be divided? All right? There are times when the Lord's going to say, hey, yeah, you believe that Scripture, but this is what it means. I haven't done that yet, right? So he's going to tell John. He's going to tell him. Look in Hebrews 5:12. There are times, folks, that we need to be taught again because we thought we knew something and we didn't know it. Hebrews 5:12. The Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink." Hey, John's sitting in the pokey, folks. He knows the Scriptures. He believes them. Things aren't happening the way he thought they ought to happen. But that doesn't mean that he's wrong, and that doesn't mean that Jesus is not the Messiah. And so what Jesus is going to do is he shows them, hey, he's preaching to the meek, right? He's preaching to the poor. He says to John, hey, you know how this Judaism religion is going lately, right? You know how the money changers are in the church or in the synagogues. And the people that have money are going to get what they think is the truth. The people that don't have any money aren't getting anything. Would a fancy preach to the poor? That's what he's asking John. Would a fancy be preaching? Would somebody that's after money be preaching to the poor? You can't get any money preaching to the poor because they're poor. They don't have any money. Folks, the Catholic Church, they seldom set up churches in areas where there aren't any money. They're abandoning churches because there's no money coming in anymore. They're picking up and leaving. And they're going to places where there's money. And heretics and cults, they very seldom go to the poor. They go where the money is. These healing big healing tents, they want the old people that with ailments coming in so they can get their money that they worked so hard for all their lives that they have set up for retirement. And so they'll say, hey, if you have faith and blah, 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 and you give us $1,000, we'll make it so where you're healed. The only time these people go to the poor, folks, is when they want to overthrow a government or they want to overthrow some institutionalized setup. And as soon as they get control, the poor is out. And they have to go meander somewhere else and find somewhere else to be poor. They're not going to be poor there. And so Jesus tells John, the very fact that I go to the poor is proof that I'm the Messiah. Notice, folks, who does John send? John sends two disciples. In Deuteronomy 19:15, the Bible says, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. John's not sending just one guy. He's not going to count on just one guy's word. He sends two people out. And Jesus sends two people back. Right? And so we're going to go ahead and stop there, folks. I'm sorry. I'd like to close in a different way, but we'll just go ahead and stop there and pick up next week. How about that? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would have an open mind to your words. And there's some things we may think we know that we don't know. And we pray, Lord, that we would just be humble, have a humble spirit, and just receive your words as they come to us, Lord. If you want to shed some more light on a particular question that we have later down the road, we pray that we would just accept it when it comes, Lord, and just squash the pride that we have that's in our nature. Father, we pray, Lord, now that you would bless the services today, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.